Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today's Daf is Ksuba Yisayin Gimel. We are holding on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. So in the Mishnah we learned, HaMekadish Asher Isha, he approaches an Isha, he's Mekadish Asher with a condition. Al Manas, that you have no Nidorim, you know, restrictions which will inhibit your way of life. He's not interested in Isha with restrictions. It turns out she misled him. She has Nidorim. The Kedushin is totally not valid. What about the following case? Itmar, says the Gemara on the second line from the bottom. Kitcha al Tanai. He made it Tanai. He stipulated, at the time of Kedushin, I do not want an Isha with a nether. Vikonsostam. But subsequently, he was koineser, it's another word for marriage. He married her without expressing anything. So the Tanai, he said at the Kiddushin, but later on when he actually married, he omitted any mention. He failed to make any reference to his previous stipulation. Now the question is he assuming that it's just understood? Or shall we say that he sort of forfeited that, he gave up on that demand? Rav Amar, Tzricha heimenu get. Although, she's not entitled to a ksuba, if it turns out that she misled him, but a get, she needs a get. Why? We'll see in a minute. Ushmul amar eina tzricha heimenu get. No get required because there is no kedushin, there's no engagement, no marriage. He clearly wanted an isha free of any nedar. Amar Rabbi, let me explain the machlekes. Lo yitema tami the Rav, don't think for a second, according to Rav, the reason why she is considered married to him and therefore requires a get upon divorce, don't think, kivan shakon sostam, since he married her without stipulation, achuli achli l'tnoi, by doing so he sort of forgave her on that tnoi, he sort of gave up on that demand, in which case she's now fully married to him, and in which case, if they separate, he has to give a get and a ksuba. No, that is not the reason for Rav's halacha, elo time of the Rav. You know why Rav says a get is required, and only a get, not ksuba. He's totally exempt from any ksuba payouts, but a get he has to give, lefi sheina adam, oisebi, losoibi, lasnus. We assume a person does not want to interact physically with an isha in a znus, inappropriate type of setting. The fact that he proceeded and married and interacted with her as married indicates that he is sort of willing to have that experience be considered a kedushin. We know that bia is a form of kedushin. So in any case, I'm making this as a kedushin because otherwise it would be considered, you know, just extramarital type of experience, which he doesn't want to do. Nobody wants to be involved in znus. So in the back of his mind, he's thinking, look, even if it turns out that she misled me, she's full of, she's loaded with nedarim, and I don't really want her as a wife, but at least for the time being, let this interaction constitute a kedushin, in which case she's my wife, in which case she needs a get upon divorce. But no ksuba, because she misled me from the get-go. Whereas Shmuel does not reckon with that notion. The fact is, he made a tanai, and he proceeded with marriage, assuming she is committed to her words, to her a deal. She misled him. Okay, no kedushin. Asks the Gemara, but this very discussion between Rav and Shmuel has already been discussed elsewhere, and why the repetition? Hapligi b'chadazimno, they have discussed this elsewhere, the Itzmar. Ketana shaloi miyana. So you have an orphan, a girl whose father passed away, and she's still a ketana. She marries. It's considered midrabanan, a nisuin, which allows for miyun. She can just reject, walk away from the husband. She didn't. She chose to stay on with him. Ketana shaloi miyana vigdila. And now she became an adult. After which her husband interacts with her as married. Davinissus. Now she turns around, walks away from this man, and marries somebody else. Rav Amar Ein Tzricha Get Misheni. According to Rav, marriage number two is totally invalid. You know why? Because the first husband, Reuven, although when she was still a ketana, in that ketana stage of her life, her marriage to Reuven was only considered a marriage midrabbanan. But once she turns a gedola and he continues living with her, that be'ila, that interaction, is considered a kedushin, and now it is kedushin min ha-Torah because she's already an adult, in which case if she goes and gets involved with Shimon, it's totally null and void. She's already a married woman to Reuven. Ein tzricha get misheni. There's no need for Shimon to give a get. Ushmuel amat tzricha get misheni. She needs a get from Shimon. Why? Because although Reuven, the first husband, stayed on with her after she became a gedola and interacted with her as married, it doesn't matter because, as Rashi says, kol ha-boyel, al das kedushin harishonim boyel. When there's a kedushin midrabbanan, then there are subsequent interactions. The assumption is that it's sort of building on the previously laid foundation. Since the foundation was only midrabbanan, the subsequent experiences are based on that, relate to that, identify with that, and will not create a new relationship, will not create a new kinyan min ha-Torah. So bottom line is that she's only married to Reuven midrabbanan. Now that she turned around and went to Shimon, his marriage is min ha-Torah. She wants to leave, a get is required. So this discussion between Rav and Shmuel is really a mirror discussion of their discussion in our sugya. Same idea. The foundation was sort of faulty. She came into the kedushin with a tenai and against his wishes. So the question is whether the subsequent interaction, later on, the be'ila, is that considered a new experience, which creates a new kinyan, or is it still relating to the kedushin, in which case it's null and void. And the question is, why did they have to discuss the same topic twice? Tzricha, both are needed. The itmar, bahi, had we only discussed the case of the ketana, who grew into an adult, I would say, bahi kama rav. In that case, rav considers the be'ila after adulthood as a initiation of a new kinyan, mishum de leka tna'a, because there was no conditioning amongst them, there was no stipulations, and everybody knows the marriage with a ketana is nothing. There's no kinyan min ha-Torah. And therefore, when he is boil her after she becomes an adult, it's a new experience, a new kiddush. Aval bahad ikatno, but in our sugi where he stipulated, he made a tanai, I don't want you if you have a neder. So what is he thinking? The fact that she's coming along with me and she's marrying me, isn't that the biggest indication that she has no tanai, she has no neder? Otherwise, she wouldn't just mislead me like this. She wouldn't betray my trust. She's not thinking along those terms, along those lines, that she really has a tanai and, a neder, and therefore the be'ila now has to start things anew. He's thinking she has no neder. If it turns out she has neder, then everything is just null and void. The kedushin, the nesuin. So in this case, I would think maybe Rav would agree to Shmuel that it's null and void. Aval baha, but in our case, ikatna. He clearly stipulated it tonight. I don't want a kedushin if there's a neder. And she proceeds and she gets involved with him. Ema moidele Shmuel. Perhaps Rav would agree to Shmuel that it's worthless. That's why we have to have our discussion. No, even in this case, Rav maintains the fact is a person is unwilling. He tries to avoid the be'ilas znus. So the physical interaction post-marriage is considered like a new kedushin, despite the fact that she misled him. V'itma b'ha, had we only discussed our sugya, our halacha with the neder b'ha kamar Shmuel, I would say, well, in this case, sure, Shmuel says it's worthless because he was relying on the clearly stipulated condition that tonight you must be without a nether. So anything that follows relates to that original tonight. Aval b'hach, but in the case of the ketana, perhaps there is different. Ema, moidi le rav, he would agree to rav that the fact that he stayed on with her after she became a gdola turns it into a new relationship, which makes it a marriage min haTorah. Tzricha, so both discussions are needed. In both cases, Rav maintains it. It triggers a new relationship according to Shmuel. It's all a continuation of the original, which makes it a non-starter. Okay, now we're going to have a kasha on Shmuel from our Mishnah. Tanan, Mishnah says. So we had case number one in the Mishnah. He made a kiddushin, almanas, on condition that you have no nether. It turns out she has a nether, no kiddushin. In the next case we have, konso stam. Upon marriage, nothing was discussed. V'nimtzu ala nedarim, it turns out she has a nether. Tzeitzei shlo b'ksuva, she leaves the marriage. She's not entitled to the ksuba. Ksuba d'loy baya. Okay, a ksuba doesn't apply hagita baya, but a get it is needed. Apparently she's considered his wife. My lab, shall we not assume? What is the case that we're speaking about? Kicha al tnai. Sure, at the point of kiddushin, he conditioned, I don't want you to come along loaded with nedarim, right? V'konsostam. But upon marriage, he failed to discuss it. He omitted any mention of his previously laid out condition. And what does the mission say? She's considered married. V'tiyuvta d'shmol, this is going to be a kashan shmol. It's right to Rav that a person doesn't want Bilas Nos is considered a new kiddushin. Answers the Gemara, Loi, you don't have to learn the Mishnah that way. Kicho stam v'konso stam. Case number two of the Mishnah that we just referenced is speaking that there was no Tanai at the point of kiddushin. He was mekadesh without any stipulation. He married without any stipulation. In this case, sure, she's considered married. She needs a get. So you'll ask a question, why can't she be entitled to the ksuba as well? He didn't tell her anything about nedarim. And the Gemara later we'll talk about. Asks the Gemara, Aval kitcha tanai bekansa stam. But do you mean to say that even if he was mekadesh with a tanai, but then married without any discussion, right? That was the case that we're talking about. Hachinamid lo yibo yagito. Do you mean to say that according to Shmuel, right? You don't need a get? Is that true? Why? Because we assume that his future interaction is based on the previous proposal. The assumption that she has no nether. And since she does, it's nothing. It's null and void. The kedushin and marriage, right? Is that what you mean to say? If that's the case, adatoni. So instead of the Mishnah saying like this, Hamakadesh ha-seish, Hamanah she'en ala nedarim, what was case number one in the Mishnah? He approaches an Isha. I'm doing Kiddushin on condition that there are no Nedarim. Turns out she misled him. What's the Halacha? No Kiddushin. Which is really a fairly simple and obvious Halacha. He made it tonight, which was not fulfilled. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah should have cited a greater Chiddush, an example that expresses a greater novelty. Listening, the Mishnah should have said like this. Konso stam. V'nimtzu ala nedarim. Enim kodeshes. He made a kedushin. With a tanai, I don't want nedarim. And then, he married her without any mention of that tanai. And it turns out she has nedarim. Here's a chiddush. Even in this case, where he made no reference upon marriage, still we assume it's based on the mindset which was presented at the time of kedushin, and therefore ainam kodeshes. V'koshkein ha, it should have said this case, and of course, it would be self-evident and obvious that if he is mekadesh with a tnai of no nedarim, and it turns out she has nedarim, that of course it's not mekodeshes. That's a more simple and obvious halacha. The Mishnah should have cited a greater chiddush, if it is indeed so in accordance with Shmuel's Shita. Right? We usually look for the greater Chiddush. And says the Gemara, you're right. That's exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. Let's relearn the Mishnah accordingly. That's exactly what the Mishnah means to say. We start with a case of a Mekadesh as a Isha al Manah She'en Olen Adarim. Right? He stipulated at the point of Kedushin, I don't want Adarim. And then when the Mishnah says she was found to have Nadarim, it means when? After marriage. Even if it was only discovered after marriage, V'konso stam, he married her without any discussion. V'nimto l'nadarim, it turns out she has Nadarim, enim kodeshes, it doesn't work, and that is Shmuel's Chiddush. That's case number one of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah continues with another case. Kitcha stam, V'konso stam, suppose he did not utter a word about Nadarim. He made a Kedushin stam. He married her stam. That's the second case in the Mishnah. It's a brand new halacha, unrelated to, you know, to Rav and Shmuel. What happens here? Teitish lebeksuva, she separates, she needs a get, but no ksuba. Ksuba hodaloi baya, hogita baya. So she is not entitled to ksuba, because he doesn't want an isha with nadarim, but a get she needs. Now we're going to analyze this halacha. Right? So, what's the difference between ksuba and get? Umayish no ksuba. Deloi baya, why is she not entitled to a ksuba? The Omar, because the husband can claim, this is not what I expected. This is not what I ordered. If she be isha nadron, actually he didn't order anything. He didn't discuss it, but it's just a presumed mindset. A person does not want an isha with nadarim, holier than me. I'm not interested in that. So I don't want to give her a ksuba. If that's the case, then she's totally unmarried. She shouldn't need a get at all. Why do you split between the, why making the split? Get she needs, she's considered married, but a ksuba not. If she's not considered a proper wife as per ksuba, then skip the get altogether. Amarab tzricha get midivrayim. You're right. She's not his wife. The assumption is a person does not want an isha with nadarim, but we still give her a get because it appears that she was married. We don't want it to give the impression that you have a married woman just walking off. V'chein Amar of Chizda, tzricha get midivrayim, the get is only midrabbanan. Rava Amar, I'll give you another approach. Tano safuki mesapkale. Our Tana has some sort of suffix here, how to deal with it. We're not sure if she's really, really unmarried, or perhaps even an isha with a neder is entitled to get married. Right? So, it's not necessarily a non-starter. And therefore, Gabi mamona lekula, gabi isur lechurma. When it comes to isur issues, like letting her go without a get, you have to be machmer. Right? We're not sure about a stam adam. Rashi says your typical, you know, standard individual. Is he really machmer? Is he so particular about the nedarim on his wife? To what extent is a person particular about this? So, when it comes to letting her go without a get, we can't just do that. We're machmer. We take into account that perhaps she is a married woman. But when it comes to financial obligations, i.e. the man's ksuba payout obligations, you can't compel him, you can't obligate him. He can say, I never wanted this. So he's potter from ksuba. So bottom line, just recap before we continue. We had three separate cases, basically. We have a simple case. He's Mekadesh Altanai. I don't want an isha with a neder. It turns out she misled him. It's no kedushin. That's a simple case. We had the middle case, which was Machlekes Rav Shmuel. He made a kedushin al tanai, but when he married, he did it stam. He didn't make any reference to that condition. So Rav says it starts brand new. He doesn't want bilas nus. It's a kedushin. She would need a get upon separation. Shmuel disagrees. When I do something today, it's Aldas, what I stipulated earlier, it's Aldas Kedushin, and the Kedushin was done Al-Tanai, so the marriage is also Al-Tanai, no Kedushin, no marriage. In the third case we have, he never discussed anything. Didn't say Bu. He was Mekadesh, he married Stam. Mishnah says, a get she needs, but a ksuba she's not entitled to because he can say, I never wanted such a thing. Amar Rabba, let's go back to Rav Shmuel for a minute. So Rav said, even though there was a tznai at the point of Kedushin, but if he married without a Tanai, it starts things fresh. Shmuel disagreed. Al das Kedushim HaRishonim Boyel. Just like whatever the Kedushin has, the marriage has. If there's no Kedushin because he discussed Tanai, marriage has no value either. Rabbah will now sort of package and frame the machlekes. Well, when does this machlekes apply? And according to Rabbah, only in a very specific case. Omar Rabbah machlekes betos shtei noshim. This whole machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, meaning we're going to focus specifically on Rav's chiddush now. But even when he makes a tanai during the kedushin, and that tanai turns out not to have been fulfilled. He said no nedarim, there were nedarim. But then he proceeds with marriage without mentioning anything about his tanai. Rav says, it makes a new kinyan. This chiddush of Rav is only betos shtei noshim. If the tos, the mistake, the thing that went wrong, so to speak, here. In the case of the nether, he was misled. He thought there was no nether. It turned out there was a nether. That's the lashon of toes that the Gemara will be using over and over again. There was some sort of deficiency in the process. Betos shtei noshim. It only works if there were two women involved. Meaning, he was mekadesh Rachel, almanas, that you have no nedarim upon you. And then he went to Leah, was mekadesh and married her without discussing anything. So Shmuel says, we assume it was with the same demand, just as he demanded that Rachel be without Nedarim, he expected the same of Leah. Rav disagrees. The fact that he failed to make any mention of his conditions when he married Leah is an indication he doesn't care. He wants Leah bad enough, he'll take her even without fulfillment of this specification, even if she has a nether. That is Rav's chiddush. So Rabbah takes an entirely different approach than Abaye. Abaye is working with the fact that a person doesn't want his bila to be his nus, etc. He's willing to proceed at all costs. But Rabbah's approach is that we're speaking about a very specific case. The fact that he failed to make any mention when he married Leah indicates that he's treating her differently than Rachel. Aval betos isha achas. But if this tos took place with one isha, like we said before, he was mekadesh with a tanai, and then he married her without discussing the tanai. Aval betos isha achas, divrei akoil, ein tzricha imena get. According to all shittos, even Rav would agree, no get is required. There's no reason to think that he changed his mind. He didn't want a nether. Turns out she has a nether. No kedushin. Amli Abaye. Abaye disagreed, of course, because he was working with the other approach. A person does not want his experience to be as nus, and therefore it would apply even to one isha. So Abaye asked on Rav. Vamas nisan, take a look at our Mishnah, which was the basis of the kasha that we asked before on Shmuel. So we sort of mixed our Mishnah into the fray here. What is the context of our Mishnah? Are we speaking about two women? No, it's just one isha. The tos isha achasi. So how did we ask a kasha from our Mishnah on Shmuel? Right? So apparently, the very fact that we asked a kasha from our Mishnah indicates that even by one isha, the same halacha would apply. Right? The Bnei Yeshiva assumed so. The very fact that they used the Al Mishnah as a kasha indicates that the prevailing mindset in the yeshiva, the Gemara, that they had the yeshiva there, so they assumed that it makes no difference if it's one isha or two nashim. How can you Rabbah, take it for granted, be so sure of yourself that by one isha it wouldn't apply. Eloi itmar chi itmar, rather, if we learned Rabbah, it was as follows. Amar Rabbah machlekes betos isha achas, kein shtei noshim. When do we say that according to Rav, he needs a get She needs a get. That's only when the tos took place in a way that it's reminiscent of a double relationship, of a double experience. Sure, there was only one isha involved, but there was a two-phase process, as though there were two nashim involved. Rashi explains like this: he was mekadesh Rachel al tanai. Kedushin only works if there is no neder. He divorced her, right then and there. And then he retook her and married her without saying anything. Here, Rav says, look, why don't you repeat your condition if you're so careful and so particular about that demand? Why did you just ignore it? You retook her without discussing that stipulation, that tonight. That's a raya, that you were moichel on it. You megala das, you show that you don't care. And Shmuel says, no. I already told you once. The first time around. So the second time around was based on that mindset. That's the machlokes, in a very specific case. True, it was one isha, but it was ke'en shtein yoshem, as though he was involved twice. As though there were two women involved, meaning it was a double process. Kedushin, divorce, and again remarried her. Aval b'toyus isha achas grey dasa, but if it's just one isha straight through, and she misled him at the point of kedushin, so even if he married her without discussing the tanai, she misled him. Tibri akol all agree ain't a tzricha imen get no get is required, because we assume he only took her in as per his stipulation at the point of kedushin. Esvi abaye, here comes abaye with another kasha. You're telling me if it's one isha, with one process, with one one phase, all agree the entire process, consider it a continuous process, and it's based on the tanai that was stipulated at the beginning of that process? We have a halacha like this. Kitcho betos. He was mekadesh and isha. It turns out to be a mistake. The Gemara figures at this point, what type of mistake are we speaking about? She misled him to think that she has no nether, upon her, right? And she misled him. Upachas mishava pruta. Another example is that he was mekadesh and isha, which was less than a pruta worth money, so it's not really a kedushin. Mechen katan shekidish, or you have a katan who tried to do kedushin, it doesn't work. In all these cases, afal pisha shalach sivloinos were the gifts that the chasn would send the kali. He sent many gifts after the kedushin. Lachem mekan inim kedesh, doesn't work. Shemachmas kedushin harishenim shalach, because your gifts relate to the kedushin. If he was a katan at the point of kedushin, even if he sends gifts later on after he's a gola, it doesn't matter, because he's not trying to start all over again. He's gifting her, assuming that she's already mekudeshes from the first experience, which of course didn't work. Being balukana. But suppose they're already married and they interact physically, then we say it's a new kinyan. So although the kedushin was not really valid, but the be'ila itself constitutes kedushin. That's a tanakama. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar, in balu loikana. Even the subsequent physical interaction does not create a kinyan. Okay, end of halacha. Asks the Gemara. Let's focus on the Tanakhama. It was one isha, one toes at the point of kedushin. He proceeded, married her. What does Tanakhama say? Even though the kedushin was not valid, she misled him, thinking that she has no nedarim, which she had. But Balu makes kinyan. V'ahacha. But take a look at our case. The toes isha achasi. The toast pertains to one isha and one single continuous process. Upligia, we have a machlekes. That's a kasha on you, Rabba, who told us that if it's just one isha, we assume that the be'ila later on was based on the previous notion, the stipulation stated at the point of kedushin. You can't start fresh. It's one continuous process. My love toast in the dorm. Shall we not assume that we're speaking about, a similar case to our Mishnah? To our sugya, she misled him thinking that she has no nedarim, which she really does. Loi tos, pachos mishava pruta. We're not speaking about nedarim, we're speaking about kitcha betos, that he thought you can use even a penny to be mekadosh. That was his mistake. Now, why is that different than Nadarim? We'll explain in a minute. But before that, we have another kasha. How can you say pachas mishava pruta behed yuktanilo? That's the second case in the Braisa. Right? It says kitcha betos upachas mishava pruta. First case is toos, and then come pachas mishava pruta. It's not one and the same. Yes, it is. Pirusha come afarish. It's one and the same. The Braisa is just explaining itself. We start with kitcha betos. There was some sort of error at the point of kiddushin. Ketzat, for example, kigon shekitcha bepachas mishava pruta. He gave her less than a pruta, thinking that it works. He stayed on with her. He was boil after marriage. Now we have a shaila. Kiddushin was not valid. It was less than a pruta. Perhaps the beila starts the process anew. Tanakama says yes. Rabbi Shimon says no. Says the Gemara of Maika Miflagi, what's the point of Machlekes? It has nothing to do with being misled, etc. What he had in mind, what she had in mind. So what then is the Machlekes here? Why would Tanakama say it works and Rav Shimon say not? Answer is, Mar Savar Adam Yodea She'en Kiddushin Tosin B'Shpachas M'Shavar Pruta. Tanakama holds, typically a person who approaches marriage knows the basic halacha that Kiddushin does not hold. Does not work if it's less than a prut. V'gamar u'ba'al l'shem kedushin. So he knows full and well that his first kedushin is worthless, and the bi'ila that he did with her afterwards was l'shem kedushin. So it starts a fresh slate. Umar safa, where is the other shita holds? Ain't other yodeya she'en kedushin toifsin v'pachas m'shar pruta. Not necessarily. Is everybody learned? I'm privy to this fact that you can't make a kedushin with so little value. V'chika bal adata the kedushin harishayni bal. He thought that the kedushin worked, and when he continued marrying her and continued living with her, it was adata the kedushin harishayni. It was based on the understanding that it's building on the first kedushin. He didn't intend on creating a new kedushin. Ace, here comes another kasha on Rabbah, who maintained that our sugya between Rav and Shmuel pertains to a very specific particular case where there was a two-phase process, and perhaps the fact that he ignored his tonight the second time around indicates that he gave up on it, right? Dafka in that case. Esve, here comes another kasha on Rabbah. Hareini boyalich. So he was mekadosh and isha, and then he proceeds and interacts with her as married. Al menash yirtze ava, on condition that my father is okay with this shidduch. That's his condition. Ava bishalei rotzo av. Even if it turns out that father was unhappy about this match, mikudesh as it works. Rabbi Shimon, no, it depends on the father, as stipulated. Ratza av mekudeshes, loy ratza av ena mekudeshes. Father's okay, it works. Father's not okay, it doesn't work. End of halacha. What does Tanakama say? Even if his condition was not fulfilled, his father was unhappy, it works. The Gemara is assuming because the Be'ila creates a new experience. An experience which was not hinged on any conditions. What's this case all about? There was something wrong, a toast, and it was just one isha and one process. He didn't marry and divorce and retake her. It was just one continuous process. Condition that led into nesuin. And we have a machlokes, meaning, according to Tanakama, the fact that he failed to mention any tanai at the point of his bi'ila makes it work. This is a kasha that Abai is asking on Rabbah. You, Rabbah, explain to us that the whole reason why the bi'ila can work, according to Rabbah, is because he had engaged and divorced and remarried without making any mention of tanai the second time around. We assume he adopted a fresh new outlook on life. Otherwise, it's assumed that the Be'ilah is a continuation of the Kedushin, I'm bound to the same conditions. How are you going to explain this Mishnah here? This Braisa here? He made a Tanai at the appointed condition. He didn't divorce and remarry. He just continued, uninterrupted, into the marriage. Tanakama says it works. Answers the Gemara, no. The reason why, according to Tanakama, it works has nothing to do with our sugya. It's not a question of whether he insisted on his Tanai being fulfilled, or he neglected his Tanai, or he gave up his Tanai. It's a more basic, fundamental question of how to look at the condition to begin with. What did he mean when he said, Al Manasta, my father's okay? Okay meaning he's not yelling and screaming and protesting? Or does he have to, or does he actually have to certify and rubber stamp the shidduch? That's the machlekes. So it's a side point unrelated to our circuit. Hasan Bakam, over there, the machlekes revolves around how to interpret these words. Mar Savar Al Manas Yirtza Av, Al Manas Yishtika Av. Tanakama says, when I said unconditional, my father's okay, I meant as long as he remains silent, doesn't voice any loud opposition. And he was silent. So it works. Umar Sava, whereas the other shita holds, Amanas Shayyimar Abahain. Unconditional, my father clearly rubber stamps it. He says, yes, I'm going with this thing. Vahalayamar Abahain. In this case, he didn't say anything, so it doesn't work. Ace, here comes another kasha from Abayan Rabbah. So this is a Mishnah which we actually discussed in Maseches Yevamos. So the Mishnah just speaks about a case as follows. Reuven married an Isha, divorced her, and remarried her. And now he passed away without kids. Can his brother Shimon proceed and do Yibum to Rachel, Reuven's wife? Chachamim say yes. Rabbi Eliezer says no. Chachamim say yes because that's Eishes Ach without children. That's the classic Yibum scenario. So although Reuven had married and divorced and remarried, it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, he passed away while she was still his wife. To Shimon, she's a sister-in-law, Eishes Ach, without kids. That's a Yibum. Rav Eliezer says, no, you cannot do Yibum. Why? Because we're concerned. There's a gzera. Because if you do it in this case, it might lead to another case where it's problematic. In that case, all agree you cannot do Yibum. What is that case? Moidim Chacham or Blezer. Even the Chacham would agree to Blezer in the following case. Biktana. You have an Isha who's a Ktana. She Sia Avia. Her father has the ability to marry her off and becomes a marriage Minat Torah, right? So father marries her off to Reuven. Vinizgash. And then Reuven divorces her. Vihi is Saima. She's considered like an orphan, Bechaye Avu, even though her father's around. She's an orphan during her father's lifetime because basically she left his domain. Once she married, she's out of his family, out of his control. So going forward, father no longer has the ability to marry her off. But she can go ahead and approach a man and get married. So now Reuven chose to take her back. His marriage now is only with the Rabbanon. And now he passes away. Now we're in trouble. Shechelets is lemisi abemis. Shimon can only do chalitza, not yibam. You know why? The Mishnah explains. It's actually a brisa. Because when Reuven divorced Rachel, it was a proper divorce. She had been married to him in Atayra through the father. Now he divorced her. It's over. Vein chazarasa, chazarasa gemura. But when Reuven retakes her, it's not a proper retaking. It's only with the Rabbanon. So now when Reuven dies, she's really usher to Shimon Menat Torah. Because technically, to Shimon, Rachel now is Grushas Achiv. She's his brother's divorcee. She had been married to Reuven and then got divorced. Menat Torah, it stopped right there. Process terminated right there. So although she's back to Reuven, it's only the Rabbanon that cannot really allow her to proceed and marry Shimon. Med v'mamurim, when does this apply? When is this concern applicable? Shagirusha k'shi iktana. V'yachzira k'shi iktana. Reuven divorced her and took her back when she was only a ketana. So now she's only married to him at the Rabban. It does not enable Yibam. Aval girusha k'shi iktana. But let's say he divorced her when she was a ketana, but then v'yachzira k'shi gdayla, but took her back as an adult, fully married. Minat Torah. There's no issue there. Or he took her back as a ketana, but then she grew up with him. She waited around until she became a gedola and stayed on with him, and he interacted with her as married. So now it sort of creates a new relationship in Atura. Umeisa. Now when Reuven dies, now she's a full-fledged yivama. She can go for chalitza or for yivam. But the following was said in the name of Reb Elezer. Chalitzes. No, we cannot have Yibam, only Chalitza. Says the Gemara, let's take a close look at this case. She was with him as a ketana, then they grew up together. He was boil her after she became a gedola. Here there was something wrong, right? There was some sort of deficiency. Was a kedusha ketana, right? And then he waited until she became a gedola, continued living with her. And what did the Rabbanan say? The be'ilah took place after she became a gedola is considered l'shem kedusha. So even though the marriage started on shaky footing, it was only with the Rabbanan, but they stayed on with it, they stuck through it. Now once she became a gedola, the be'ilah, the interaction at that point, turns it into, it transforms it into a Kedusha Torah. Irrespective of how the marriage began, now it's been a Torah. That is Shitas Tanaka Chacham. And therefore, when he passes away, she's a regular Eshas Ach, she's married to Reuven Min HaTorah, and she can go over to Shimon as a Yevama. That's going to be a Kashan Rabba. It's Isha Achas. There are no two processes here. Right, it's not like he made a condition the first time around, divorced her, took her back without a condition. So Rabbi says, that's Rav's shita. He didn't make he didn't talk about it the second time. We assume he gave up on it. That doesn't apply here, right? The second time he was with her, he started as a ketana. And he started as a ketana, and then waited until she became a gedola and continued living with her. It's not a question of giving up and forfeiting, conditions and stipulations and giving up on particularities. It's a totally different context here. It's one continuous experience going from ketana to gedola, and we say the be'ilah after she becomes a gedola counts as a kedushin Torah. And the Gemara is assuming the same thing with a case of nedarim. He was Mekadosher with the mindset that she has no Nedarim, but then he continued living with her without saying anything. We assume it just counts afresh. It's not a fresh new slate. It's a brand new marriage, brand new Kedushin, without any stipulations, without any Tanoim. Answers the Gemara, no. Hosam Nami Bokeh Miflugi. I'll explain to you the Machlokes between Rabbi Elezer and the Rabbanan. And we'll see that it has no connection to our sugi of Nedar. Mar Savar Adam Yadeya Shein Kedushik Tanaklum. The Chachamim hold, a person knows the initial Kedushin with a Ketana is worthless. Menatar, it's worthless. V'gamar Ubal L'Shem Kedushin. When he continues, when he stays on with her, and interacts with her physically, he knows, we're starting fresh, the same kedushin menater. So she's considered a full-fledged wife. And therefore, upon his passing, she's a yevama to the brother. Umar Sover, Eino Adam Yodeya, Shein Kedushay Ketana Klum. Reb Elezer holds, not everybody's aware of this halacha, that a kedushay Ketana doesn't work. v'chikabal, and even though he stayed on with her and did beila, adatu the kedushin arishonim kabal. We assume it was building on the previous kedushin. He did not intend on initiating a new relationship, on making a new kinyan. Therefore, there was no kinyan v'natur. And upon his passing, she can't go to the brother. She can only do chalitza. And Rashi points out, and Farshim point out, that apparently our Gemara here, based on this analysis, is different than the Gemara Nivamis, where over there the Gemara learns that our blazer is a gzeira, that it might lead to the other case that we explained before. The Gemara here is concluding differently. It's a very basic machlekes. Does or does not a person know? Is a person fully aware of the halacha that a ketana cannot be engaged in a Torah or not? And that leads to this machlekes of how to treat the subsequent bi'ila. Is it just a continuation, and therefore it's not considered a new kedushin? Or do we say a person is fully aware of the fact that his kedushin with the ketana is now minat Torah, and the bi'ila starts things fresh? The bottom line is, it's not a matter of nedarim and conditioning and stipulations and mindsets, and therefore it has nothing to do with Rabbah. It's not a kasha on Rabbah's explanation. Bottom line is, we had a sugya of an isha who turns up with nedarim. She's loaded with vows and oaths and restrictions. So we have three separate scenarios that we discussed. A basic case is, he was mekadesh al tanai, that you have no nedarim. She misled him. She had nedarim. Eina mekadeshes. Let's jump to the third case. He didn't say anything. At the point of kedushin, he was mekadesh stam and married stam. Teitish lebeksuba, she doesn't get her ksuba. He can claim that's not what I wanted, but she needs a get just in case. The middle case was, he was mekadesh with a tanai, but when he married, he failed to make any reference of that tanai. Shmuel says, no kedushin. I meant what I said back at the kedushin. Rav says she doesn't get a ksuba, but she needs a get. And according to Rabbah, who's speaking dafka in a case where it was a double-phase process. He made the tanai at the point of kedushin, then divorced, and retook her without a discussion. Rav assumes he gave up on his previous, particularities, whereas Shmuel disagrees. That was Rav's approach, and we had several kashas which we answered. Abai's approach, which was the first approach, was that Rav holds that a person does not want to get into a bilas nus, and therefore he's willing to take her as a wife, at least for a time being, although she's really contravening his stipulations. So Abai asked several kashas on Rabbah. Abai was the one who learned that it's a question of bilas nus or not bilas nus. And he asked several kashas. And the Gemara answered all the kashas. We discussed the case where he did the kedushin with less than a pruta. We discussed the case where he did it al menashe yirtza av. We discussed the case where he was mekadesh ketana and then continued living with her. In all cases, we explained that there's a machlekes of how to deal with the subsequent marriage that followed. These types of kedushin, shall we say it's a valid marriage or not? At the end of the day, we had all the kashas and Rabbah answered. All the best to you and Hatzlacha, Rabbah.